Blog Talk Radio.
Know you better. See you kind of busy, so I guess I send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I coach you. Cause gymming is far from the average knucklehead. I don't want to spend most of my time in bed. But in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
Huh. And as you did,
I need your mind when I was
gone. I just want to be. Girl, I just wanna be.
In NADAC, Stafford Creek Correction Center, this call will be recorded and monitored. If you wish to block any future calls of this nature, dial 7 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. To decline this call, hang up.
Hello?
Call will be recorded and monitored. If you wish to block any future calls of this nature, dial 7 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. To decline this call, hang up.
Hello, is there something wrong?
You have a
prepaid
call. You will not be charged for this.
All right, everyone, there's a Mr. Linwood McCullen is trying to call from the prison that he's in. I'm going to give you a little background on his situation. Mr. Linwood McCullen is incarcerated. He was dating a woman of another race, a white lady, who was pregnant with his child. He was trying to unjam a gun and it went off and killed the white lady, his girlfriend or his fiance, I don't know which she was, but the child lived. And the judge gave him, instead of giving him manslaughter, they gave him life in prison for a whole lot of more years when it should have been manslaughter. And he's been in prison about 25 years. So I'm trying to get him on the phone. He was discriminated against, of course, because he was with a white lady. His name is Linwood McCullen, and he's trying to get his story out there and hope that he could get a new trial or get time served. But he's been in prison 25 years. He was 19 years old when he went to prison. So you can only imagine what that's like. You can't really imagine what prison is like. That's who I'm trying to get on the phone right now. The gentleman was unfairly dead. So he was unfairly dead. His name is Linwood McCullen. He's been dead horribly wrong. Linwood McCullen. the state of Washington took his rights away. He should have been charged with manslaughter with a maximum of 10 to 15 years, but he got life, and he's in prison for an accident. He's been in prison for 25 years. It's unfortunate that the young lady, his daughter that lived, grew up by her mother and her father. She didn't have either one. So he also had a son, also a one-year-old son, when he was 19. So he's been in prison he's 44 years old, is my estimate. If he was 19 when he went in, Mr. Linwood McCullen was did wrong by Washington State. So I'm trying to get him on the phone so he can tell his story, so you can hear his voice and hear what he's went through. The girlfriend got hit with the bullet, but because she was white, hi, Mr. McCullum. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela. But I was telling the people that were listening to this interview, it's being pre-recorded, that you were dating a lady of another race, and she was pregnant with your child, and you were trying to unjam a gun.
Yeah.
And the gun went off, and the bullet hit the lady. Your love interest, your love, and it killed her, and the child lives. So let's take it from there, sir. Tell your story.
So, I was trying to unjam a gun, and it went off, and it struck her in the face. And you know, my immediate actions, I ran into the living room, told everybody to call the police. I ran into the bathroom, grabbed some towels to stop the bleeding out of her wound. Because once I did that, I couldn't stand seeing her laying on the ground with blood pulsating out of her face, so I had to you know leave the room. Immediately when the police came, I'm the one that contacted the police when they came into the parking lot and told them I'm the one that accidentally shot her. So, you know, they arrested me, took me to jail, and I was originally charged with second-degree murder. It wasn't till about a month later they decided to charge me with first-degree premeditated murder. And they did that based on somebody reading an article in the newspaper and then saying, and then contacting the prosecutor saying, oh, I was just in the county with him and he was bragging about he did it on purpose and all that. And that's not the truth at all. I even had somebody who was in that exact pod with me sign a sworn affidavit saying, no, he did. He wasn't bragging about it. He was distraught about it. So, you know, so I went to trial and got trial and on first degree murder. Well, mind you, before my trial, the owner of the gun, because it wasn't even, I didn't even when I set up the apartment that day, I didn't even know that the gun was there. I was gone. When I showed up at the apartment, she came to me and said, hey, your homeboy dropped off this gun. He said it didn't work. So I didn't know that it was, I didn't even know it was there until later on. And then later on, that's when, you know what I'm saying, I was like, I wonder why this gun doesn't work. So I was just trying to unjam it and figure it out, and that's when it went off.
So he bought the gun for you to fix it?
Well, he just dropped it off because he couldn't get into his own apartment. It wasn't even for me to fix. I didn't even know it was there. He just dropped it off because he lives two apartments down. And he couldn't get to his apartment, so he just dropped it off so he didn't have to run around with it. But the prosecutors gave him a full immunity to come testify on my behalf about this about the gun. And when he came to testify about the gun, he said, "Yeah, I dropped it off because the gun didn't work. It only works when it wants to work." And that I didn't know that he was like he didn't know about it because he wasn't there.
Okay.
The prosecutors and the state, I mean, the prosecutors and my attorney both had different gun experts. And they both came to trial and said that the gun was defective. That said, although we can't exactly duplicate what he said happened, theoretically it's possible.
So you did not introduce her. What was her name?
Say it again?
What was her name?
Jamie.
Okay. So you did not intentionally murder her, but they're saying it was premeditated murder.
So I went to trial for premeditated murder. And during trial, all these things came out about this gun and it being defective. And so when it came to jury, you have the 14th Amendment right to a jury trial. Well, me saying that, yes, I am responsible, but it was an accident. You know what I'm saying? Now, from day one, I've accepted full responsibility for Jamie's death. I just said it was an accident.
Okay.
And from day one, you know what I'm saying, I've never denied it or anything like that. Well, during trial, you know, when this gets sent to the jury, we have the right to say, okay, it's either he's guilty of first-degree murder or he's not, or acquittal, but then, you know what I'm saying, you have the lesser included to first-degree murder, which is second-degree murder, first-degree manslaughter, and second-degree manslaughter. And the jury has the right to decide what I'm guilty of. And the judge refused to give the jury those alternate choices. He said either he's guilty of first-degree murder or acquittal. And me being, you know what I'm saying, I feel like me being a black man and who actually shot a white woman, you know what I'm saying, is they're not going to just say, okay, well, we're going to acquit him and you can go home. The jury's going to find me guilty of whatever they can find me guilty of. And so they came back with the verdict of he's guilty of first degree murder.
Those are the only alternatives. Is that legal?
Is no. By constitutional, you have the constitutional right to the 14th Amendment, which is the right to a jury trial. So Beck versus Alabama states that you cannot give an all-or-nothing jury instruction. Because that's what it does. It paints the jury into a corner of finding somebody guilty.
What state did this happen in?
Say it again?
What state did this happen in?
Washington State.
Washington.
Pierce County.
Oh, Washington State.
Right, in Pierce County.
Washington, D.C., Washington State.
No, Washington State.
Okay. And what was the name of the city?
Say it again?
What was the name of the city?
Tacoma.
Tacoma, Washington. Okay. And this happened how many years ago?
26 years ago.
26 years ago. Okay, so you've been in prison 26 years for accidentally killing someone, and they could have gave you manslaughter, but the judge said it was either murder or acquittal.
Or acquittal.
Okay. That's illegal.
That's absolutely illegal. There's so many constitutional illegal issues that the judge did.
Have you contacted
the
Innocence Project?
Say it again?
Have you contacted the Innocence Project?
I have, and they, you know, and they're like, unless you can get back in front of a judge, you know what I'm saying? Our hands are tied, like, and they deal with actual innocence. Like, they're saying that they only deal with, like, if you didn't do anything at all.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, sweetie.
Say it one more time.
Did not take a plea deal, did you?
No.
Went to trial.
Yeah, I went to trial. Because the plea deal that they told me was 50 years. Plead guilty and we'll give you 50 years. So when I went to sentencing, my standard range was only 388 months, which the top end, which means is 32 years is the top end, and the low end is 23 years. The judge unconstitutionally went outside of my standard range and doubled my sentence to give me 70 years.
My God. I'm so sorry.
He gave me 70 years, and they deemed that unconstitutional because they're saying once again it's the jury's right to decide your guilty and your punishment, but the judge is not.
McCullum, you've been through hell. There are no women in this. Nobody wanted anything here. The lady is dead. You have children.
I have a wonderful relationship with my daughter. You know, and we talk all the time. She comes to visit, and you know, she asks me questions all the time, like, "When are you coming home?" You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to sit here and, you know, say, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But the other thing, Angela, I want you to know is, you know, the Washington State Supreme Court came out with a letter 2 years ago saying, we know that we've been sentencing young black men wrong for the last 20 years. So they said we must go back and fix these sentences, you know what I'm saying, in the interest of justice. And they came up with a bill for these guys to relook at cases that they know that are wrong. And comparative justice, because in comparative justice is you can't. There's nobody in the state that has the same charge. I have a first degree murder and an unlawful possession of a firearm and got 70 years. That everybody else that's getting these charges in times are getting 25 years, 26 years, or if they did get a long sentence like I have, they've already been sentenced and are free right now. Free to this day, they're getting out, and so the question becomes is, well, why are you guys stonewalling me when I have the legal tools to get out of prison, unconstitutionality, but not only that, these 26 years I've used to become a better man, the best version of myself. You know what I'm saying? I've taken classes. I'm the president of the Inside Out group where we do fundraising and we donate to the community, to victim shelters and sexual abuse kids and stuff like that. So it's not like I've just been sitting here and saying, oh, let me out. You know what I'm saying? I know that I can become a productive member of society. And so it's like they're ignoring everything, and the question needs to be raised is why this man has all these legal tools and unconstitutionality, and you guys have also come out with, even in, throughout the whole United States, saying that you can't sentence a teenager to die in prison. Them is new laws. Well, I was 19, and they're saying you cannot sentence us to die in prison. Well, I got sentenced to a de facto life sentence, meaning I'm going to die in prison. But why haven't you guys corrected this?
So do you ever go before the parole board?
The issue with going in front of the parole board is my case has been on stay since 2017. I have these legal issues that can get me out of prison, and we've filed in the courts, and they keep putting me on stay behind this case. Well, if this case says this, then you might get action. But every time the case has been decided, they keep putting me on stay behind another case. And while you're on stay,
it was a right.
You can't file clemency. You can't do anything.
So it was because she was a white lady. Because she was white. I'm sorry that she's dead. I hate to be callous. But I am sorry that she's dead, okay?
Right.
But it is because she's a white woman and you're in America.
Right. I truly believe that.
And you're a black man.
Absolutely. Because the question becomes, if you had a white kid that is in the suburbs with the same situation as me, would he be in prison today?
No.
He wouldn't.
And that's still going on in this day and age.
Absolutely. It is still going on this day and age, you know what I'm saying? And Pierce County in Washington State is one of the worst counties for this, because you have other counties within this state that are recognizing, you know, that there have been sentencing young black adults, you know what I'm saying, to long sentences, and they are correcting those sentences. But Pierce County is not willing to even look, not even to say, okay, yeah, we were wrong, let's fix this.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. So basically, they sentenced you to die in prison, which should have been manslaughter.
Absolutely.
You should be out by now.
I should have been out 14 years ago. I came in when I was 19. I'm 46 right now.
That's horrible. This is horrible. How many attorneys have you reached out to? I hate to ask. I know you reached out to countless attorneys.
Right. I've reached out to countless attorneys, and I've had three attorneys that I I have a current attorney that I'm still on stay behind, you know, but I just feel like, and I don't know what the issue is, because everybody I've talked to says, yes, you have these issues. Yes, you have been screwed. Yes, you know what I'm saying? And it's still nothing being done. So why is that?
I don't know. Yes, you've been screwed. But nobody does anything to help you.
Right. And that's why it's important. I feel like, you know, these questions need to be raised and asked, because, like I said, if I was a
you have 60 seconds remaining.
First, I would have never got that much time, and second, if I did, they would have been fixed the issue.
Mr. Lynn McCullough, I'm going to promote this show. I'm going to send it to as many people as I can, including attorneys. I don't know where else to tell you to go. I do interview attorneys, but there's no guarantee any of them will accept this case at all, because this is a criminal case.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
And people like Malik Shabazz are civil rights attorneys. They're not criminal defense attorneys.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate you for at least trying. I know there's no guarantee, but just you taking the time to try, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mr. McCullough.
And you can always just coordinate through my fiance about anything that you need to, any questions or anything.
Okay. All right. Okay, what's her name?
Oh, I have to get hung up. My name is Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm Angela.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So you're engaged?
Yes.
Okay. Is it hard?
It is. It's real hard. You know, I mean, it's real draining to go through something like this and to see somebody in prison for something that they should have been out for.
Do you visit him?
I do.
Good. How did you meet him?
Through a mutual friend. I was going through a 15-year breakup, and you know, and a friend had introduced me to him, and he was kind of there for me through this whole process, and you know, we became really good friends, and then from there, you know, we started talking, and we kind of just got together from that point. You know, he's just been a really good support system for me through my life. You know, after that 15-year breakup, I found out my dad had cancer, you know, which was a really devastating thing for me, and he's just always been there. He's always been a good supporter. He's always been just a really good friend and fiancé, you know, to me. And, you know, so I just feel like, you know, he doesn't deserve to be in there. He's a really good person. If you know him, then you know that he's a really good person. So, you know, it's just, you know, he's been a support for a lot of people, and he's been a role model for a lot of young prisoners that goes in jail, that goes to prison. He's been a really good role model to them too.
Yes, and it must be heartbreaking.
It is.
Is his family still living besides his daughter and son?
Yes, his mom, his sisters. You know, he has uncles, cousins. He has a pretty big family, you know.
Do they write him up visiting?
No, not really. I think that, you know, since he's been in prison, everybody just kind of, like, fell off. I think that that's just kind of the story of a lot of prison inmates, you know. It's just that, you know, a lot of prisoners, you know, they just, their family falls off, and it's kind of like every once in a while they'll write or something like that. But he doesn't really have a lot of people that write him, and that's there for him. You know, I think that since I've been there, I've been a pretty much person that's been trying to get his story out and trying to get him out of prison.
Okay. Now, his friend contacted me.
His friend contacted
me. Ma'am?
Yes.
Mr. I don't think he told me his name.
Lila McCollum?
He didn't tell me his name. He didn't
Linwood
tell
McCollum?
Me. What now?
Linwood McCollum?
Yes. His friend contacted me and told me about him.
That's me.
Oh, that's you. I see a picture of a light-skinned guy here. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
Oh, the picture of the light-skinned guy, so I thought I was talking to a man.
Oh no, that's Linwood. That's Linwood. I run his Facebook page. That's Linwood.
Oh, okay. We have about 14 more minutes. Okay, so I'm talking to you. I thought I was talking to a man the other day. All right.
That's Linwood right there, but I'm going through his page. I set up the page to support him and to get his story out.
And you're Miss Diane. Okay, Miss Diane. I have a question. He said they went through the innocent project, but you have to be innocent, you know, of everything. He didn't take a plea there. The plea deal they offered him was 50 years. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
And have you contacted any senators?
We've contacted a lot of organizations, and we've contacted, like, we have the support of a lot of people in the community. We're in the process of trying to get him in front of a judge right now to get him resentenced, but the problem is that they keep on putting him on stay, and when you're on stay, that means you can't do anything. You can't take it in front of a judge, you can't appeal, you can't apply for clemency, you can't do nothing. You're pretty much just stuck. And so we've been trying to get the support of everybody, trying to get his story out, you know, so that maybe hopefully we can get his story pushed in front of the prosecutor, and then the prosecutor will take it to the judge. But it's like every time that we try to do something, it's like they stonewall him, and they try to push him back in some kind of way. All we're trying to do is just get his case in front of the judge. He has so many points that says that he needs to be resentenced, but they're just trying to brush it under the rug, and they're not trying to address those points. You know, we have an attorney right now that's trying to get him in front of a judge. You know, he had a previous attorney who absolutely did nothing. He's had three attorneys, and you know, we've been trying for years. So I mean, it's like every time that we get somewhere, it's like the state just like puts up another wall, and we have to try to get through that wall. It's like, you know, he's been trying for maybe like, I'd say like 8, 9 years, 10 years. We've been trying to get him in front of a judge for a very long time.
Well, how much? And they'll stonewall you. Just stay, and put other cases. Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, they messed up on his judgment of sentencing. The judge marked that this was a sex offense crime when this was not a sex offense crime. The judge, you know, he exceptionally sentenced him to double the amount of time that the maximum sentence allowed. It's just been a rough road for him from the very beginning.
Yeah, have mercy.
The jury had no choice. The jury had no choice but to convict him of first-degree murder because the judge didn't give him any other options. It was either convict him of first-degree murder or he goes home. And they're not going to let him go home. Like, he admitted that he shot her, you know what I'm saying, but it was an accident. You have so many people out here that accidentally shoot somebody, and yet they didn't, what'd they get, like 10 years, 5 years? But then you have him, who is 19 years old, a black man in America shooting a white woman. The majority of the jurors were white. It was a white judge, white prosecutor, and they hung him. He had no.
Yeah, they hung him. They hung him in the courtroom. 19 years old. 26 years. Lord have mercy, Jesus. What did his daughter say? The living daughter.
It's really unfortunate because his daughter grew up for 18 years not knowing her dad. The state came in and put a restraining order on both of them so she couldn't have any kind of contact. When she turned 18, she had to fight for her rights to meet her dad. She had to fight the state to meet her dad and to have a relationship with him. She grew up without a mom. Her mom died, and the state took her dad away.
Who raised her?
Her grandma.
Her grandmother. What does the grandmother say?
Well, you know, the grandmother is her mother's grandma, and I think that she has, like, a really hard time in forgiving, you know what I'm saying? So they put a no-contact order between Linwood and her grandma. So, you know, he's always wanted to reach out, and, you know, he's even written letters that he's not allowed to give to her. They can't have any kind of contact with each other per the state. But, he's always wanted to have that conversation with her, you know, to try to get some closure with this. You know, I just think it's really unfortunate because, you know, when he got put into prison, they didn't give him any kind of counselor or nothing. He spent 26 years living with something that he did with no kind of help. So you got to think of the mental anguish that he's been going through for 26 years, knowing that he accidentally killed somebody that he had a daughter with, 18 years not even knowing his daughter. And then, you know, it's just really unfortunate that the state didn't even give him any kind of mental counselor or nothing. He's just had to put this inside of him for 26 years. He's had to live with this in prison for 26 years without having the opportunity to really forgive himself.
And the daughter loves it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even though her mother said she still has love for him.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
She understood that was an accident.
They've had this conversation, and she understands that this was an accident. You know what I'm saying? If he could go back in time, he'd do things differently. You know, he wouldn't be trying to unjam a gun. You know, he was 19 years old. He didn't have any kind of gun training. He didn't have nothing. He was just a stupid kid that was trying to unjam a gun, and it went off, you know?
Okay. Does he have any other children?
He has a son. He has a son, and his son was a couple months old when this had happened. So he was also taken away from his son.
Is this by the same lady?
I'm sorry. No, this is by a different lady.
Okay. They have two children. Does his son know about him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His son goes up there to visit him every once in a while. You know, they don't have the best relationship, but they have a relationship. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, a young man growing up without his dad, you know. I mean, you have to, you know, it's hard for kids to grow up without their parents and then having to understand, hey, you know, you're in prison for killing somebody on accident. You know, you were taken away from us and we had to grow up without you. We didn't have any kind of contact with you for 18 years.
Okay. I'm glad that you go to see him and write him and call him.
Absolutely.
The daughter, does she visit at all?
Does she what?
Does she visit often? Or
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. His daughter and his son come up there to visit.
How often does the daughter go to see her father?
I think that it's hard for her because, like, you know, I think that she's always asking, you know, when are you coming home? You know, I think that
okay.
she really wants to have that.
Does she have calls with him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
they talk all
good.
The time.
That's
she always, you know, it's, you know, the relationship between him and his daughter is like, is such a strong relationship now. Like, she goes to him for advice. You know, they're always talking. You know, he's actually a real good role model for her now. You know, and I just think that it's just unfortunate that she has to have a relationship with him in prison instead of outside when they could have been
supposed
relationship 14
to,
years ago.
They were supposed to free him, like
14 years ago.
14 years.
That would have
ago,
been his
yeah.
max. That would have been his max. 14 years ago would have been his max. He's been in 14 years over what he was supposed to have had.
Could have been. Let Mr. Linwood McCullum out of prison. I don't know how far my show's going to go. I don't know who's going to share this, or who's going to share it with their Facebook friends and LinkedIn friends, but I'm hoping they will share this interview and help Mr. Linwood McCullum. Miss Diane, thank you for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. I look forward to doing another interview with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, everyone. You've been listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. We were talking about Mr. Linwood McCullum. That's his fiance, Miss Diane. Mr. Linwood McCullum has been in prison for 26 years, what should have been manslaughter, which is blatant discrimination and violation of his civil rights. He should have been out of prison by now, at least Glennett. His parole on faith, so he can't do anything because it's on faith, so they're blatantly discriminating against Mr. Linwood McCullum. He was only 19 years old. 19 years old, people. So you know that this is discrimination and racism and violation of all his civil rights. It's horrible. It's horrible. America is not a great country. America is really not a great country. It never has been. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. You know, I'm not going to put all of America down. America has things about it. But the criminal justice system is so wrong, it's not even funny. It's horrible the way they're doing Black people in this country. It could be anyone. It could be me. It could be you. It could be your son. It could be your daughter. I mean, it's just horrible. The whole thing is horrible. So I don't know what to say. I'm going to share this show. I'm going to put it out there and promote it. I hope you all will share the show too and do the same thing. Share the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler, and share Mr. Linwood's story. Mr. Linwood McCullum's story in Washington State. He's in a very racist area. There's no telling what he's been through in prison. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Share, 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 share. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it.